brothers and sisters marrying the Lord. I think next week there could be one. I think there's one waiting in Garden Grove. And I think also one in North Cal, right? They're all marrying the Lord, and we are all very happy for them. In your age, everybody is very interesting in opposite sex, right? Yeah, is this NYTS, you are requested to be concentrated in the Lord. But I think to pray for your marriage is also a good thing. So because marriage is one of the important choices in your life. Sometimes I think it's even more important than your majors, than your schools, because very likely you will spend 40, 50 years together with your spouse in this journey of life. So indeed, it's a very important decision. But of course, this is NYTS, right? But unavoidably, you might find somebody you like, right? Like you appreciate or you like to see that brother or sisters. So I heard a testimony from Vancouver. A sister was saying that several years ago, a preacher tell them, in case you like someone in this NYTS, right, you should do two things. Number one, never, never tell them, right? And number two, pray that they can come here next NYTS. Now, in case that they come in next NYTS, right, what do you do? You do three things, right? Number one, thank God, right? And number two, never ever tell them, right? And number three, hope, pray that they can come the next NYTS. Now, if the following NYTS that continue to come, right? What do? You do four things. Number one, thank God, right? Number two, never ever tell her or him. Number three, what do you do? Pray they come again to PMVP. And number four, tell Sister Chow. So she can be a matchmaker for you, right? We shall try to marry in the Lord. This is a this is the right thing to do. Huh? From the Bible, we were going to discuss why we shall marry in the Lord. Huh? Let's turn to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Verse 1 to 3. Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them. 2. The sons of God saw the daughters of men that are beautiful, and they took wives for themselves to all whom they choose. 3. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with men forever. For he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Here, the Bible recorded, in this generation, people did not honor God. The sons of men married the sons of God married the daughters of men. Some people say, well, sons of God refer to angel, daughter of men refer to men. Now, this is not true, huh? In the Bible, there are two separate families. One is descendants of Cain, because Cain departed from the face of God. He killed his brother. So in his life, they were cut off from the grace of God. Seth, it is the seven sons of Adam. They were able to continue the good tradition of honoring God. So the descendants of Seth is considered son of God. And the descendants of Cain, they are considered sons of men. Now, sons of God see that daughters of men beautiful. So they took wife for themselves of all whom they choose. And God says that, you know, because they are indeed flesh, huh? So my spirit shall not strive with men forever. His spirit will not move men forever. because men make their own choices. So today we got to honor God. Oh, God give us choices. Like God give you choices to eat. You can choose different kinds of food to eat, but you shall not choose blood to eat. This is something forbidden, right? In the Garden of Eden, you can eat all kinds of fruits. You have free will to choose, but you shall not eat the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. So when you choose your future spouse, we shall choose to honor God. Otherwise, God's spirit may not strike with us. Over here, why sometimes we choose anyone we like? Because the Bible says they are beautiful. The daughters of men are beautiful. Really, if you compare the church sister and girls outside, right? Not our church sister is ugly, okay? They are beautiful too. But the difference is that our church sister, we all dress very simple, right? Like a lot of us, we don't make up, we dress decently. But you go outside, many Gentile girls, they wear a lot of perfumes, short skirts, you know, expose their body, you know. So naturally, go to school, they look more attractive than many, many church sisters. So very likely your heart will be lured to go to them. But you know what? Many of our church sisters are very beautiful, right? Just look at their wedding day, right? All the bride are so beautiful in the church. So you have choices, but let's try to choose to honor God. If you have a godly parents, very likely your parents also want you to marry a church brothers or sisters, a church brother or sister. Samson disobeyed his parents. Samson saw a lady in Philistine, and he just chose by himself. And his parents tell him that, is there no woman in among the Israel that you truly can choose from? Why do you need to choose this Philistine? Now, what did Samson say? She will please me. I just like her. She will please me. So against the will of the parents and not to honor God, Samson walked on his own way. What can his parents do? In the future, if you really insist to marry a girl, what can your parents do? Very likely, they will you in, right? Very likely. The worst case is that they will not join your wedding ceremony, right? But what can they do, right? So Samson's parents cannot do anything. But just like Samson's parents expected, this marriage is a very... It turned out very sour, huh? They keep fighting in their honeymoons, and Samson got to leave their honeymoon in angry. And later on, his wife married his best friend. And Samson was so angry, later on he killed people. And from that moment on, Samson's face just went downward, and his choices of women become worse and worse. So, brother, we should choose to honor God. Do you know that in Chinese culture, right, this is Gentiles culture. Of course, this is wrong, pagan. Like when a person die, like let's say a girl die, right? The parents love the girl very much, right? They will ask a man to marry the dead girl, you know? They have that kind of system. Maybe you do not know. When I was little kids, they do that. But of course, it's already dead, right? So only marry the wood, represent that girl, right? Marry with that wood. Anyway, why do I say this? You know, Gentile people out there, right? They are all dead people, right? Can you imagine that you marry Gentile as if you are marrying a dead people? That's why the church do not allow you to have wedding ceremony in the church, because can you imagine that a living one and dead one have a holy matrimony in the chapel? It is not proper at all, because we already choose not honoring God. Why you shall marry in the Lord? Because you have the same value. Please read 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13 to 15. 13 to 15. Now in terms of the same, I speak as to children, you also be open. 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? 15. And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And God has said, I dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my children. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. We just stop here, huh? So the Bible keeps reminding you shall not equally and yoke. You shall not yoke together unequally with unbelievers. Huh? Do you know what is yoke? You know what is yoke, right? Two cows, their shoulders are put together by a wooden, shaped wooden staff, and they will till the land, walk in the same direction. Now, can you imagine that you, a believer, direction is heavenly kingdom, and non-believer, the direction is hell. Now, you are put at the same yoke. Which direction you are going to go? It's only two directions, I think. Either you follow your unbeliever spouse, go to the other direction, or your unbeliever spouse, go to heavenly kingdom, right? But in the processes of fighting, in the process of struggling, it's going to be very difficult, right? There must be a tension, must be a pulling of force, either this way or that way, right? Have you ever heard of term like Fu Qi Lian? Huh? After you get married for a long time, your face tends to look similar to your spouse. I don't know, some people told me that my wife looks more like me right now, or I like more like my wife right now. I don't know. Maybe when I choose a spouse, I already choose someone look like me. I don't know. But no matter what, I mean, your habit will come to a point that almost the same. Your thinking will struggle with one another, and then they are similar to one another. Oh. Meaning that your value will influence one another for sure. Oh. And your light, and she or he is darkness. Usually when light comes, there is no darkness. But in the unbeliever's world, he thinks that you are darkness. So he shall try to shine over you. Huh? So really, you have a lot of trouble. So even the society says, according to society survey, the fundamental element for a good marriage is that you have the same value. So brother, you should truly think about it. Huh? Think about it. Do you truly want to marry a person who do not love your God, your beloved God, who is so dear and so near to you? Like yesterday, your counselor shared with you, right? Before you learn how to walk, you remember, your parents already teach you how to walk. Now, before you know, God already loves you. Now, do you want to marry a person who do not love your God? You really need to think about it. Value is different. Sometimes you hear Pastor Ho share, one person just disappeared from Skype Bible study. Why? Because she need to please her husband. Now, on Sabbath day, definitely the husband's value is shopping. Definitely it's boring to face a group of strangers to study in the Bible. Definitely, he's not going to enjoy it. Oh. Now, if you over tithe, for sure, your unbelieving spouse will be very, very angry, right? Oh. So there are many things you really got to think about it carefully before you choose. It's a personal choice, but it could influence greatly in the future. Huh? Let's turn to another one. Nehemiah chapter 13. Nehemiah chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 23 to 27. You shall marry the Lord, because the Bible says that it is an evil or transgress. Huh? 13, verse 23. In those days, I also saw Jews who had married women of Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. 24. And half of their children spoke the language of Ashdod and could not speak the language of Judah, but spoke according to the language of one or the other people. 25. So I contended with them and cursed them, struck some of them, and pulled out their hair and made them swear by God, saying, you shall not give your daughters as wives to their sons, nor take their daughters for your sons or yourselves. Verse 26. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things, yet among many nations? There was no king like him who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, pagan woman caused even him to sin. Verse 27. Shall we then hear of your doing all this great evil, transgressing against God by marrying pagan woman? So according to Nehemiah, this is an evil. This is a great transgression. Huh? What is sin? What is the definition of sin? Yesterday in PMVP, we defined that. The Bible defined that fall short of God's glory. Of course, this is not any mortal sin, right? But indeed, you do not honor God by choosing by yourself. By choosing yourself, this is dishonoring God. So indeed, it is a transgress. Huh? And the Bible here mentioned two consequences. Again, you have choices, but number one, it might influence your children. Your children cannot speak a religious language anymore. Number two, very likely your unbelieving spouse might grab you away from the purity of the truth. Take you away from the pure truth, yeah? We cannot mention enough all the cases you see in the society. One of the NYTs, I still remember in very long, maybe a decade ago, there was a kid come to NYTs. He keep asking question, is my father's face right or my mother's faith right? My father is a non-TJC major stream Christian. My mother is a TJC Christian. Which church should I choose? Now, he asked so many questions. Guess what? Years later, he is not in TJC anymore. Now, some sister, before they marry Gentile, they come to us and they cry and cry. They determine that they will never depart from TJC, right? And they promise you, Pastor, I will stand firm for sure. I will convert my husband for sure, right? I observe her, right? After 2-3 years of marriage, at the very beginning, she has tears to persuade her husband, you know, try to grab her husband to the Sabbath service. But her husband is a very godly Christian, you know? And when he comes to our Holy Communion, he cannot partake Holy Communion. He ran out. Our sister was crying. Follow him out to the parking lot. They were talking and talking. He refused to come back. She got to follow him home. And days of crying, dragging him in. Years. Later on, you start to see the frequency of for this sister to show up in the church getting less and less. Because, you know, to converting an unbelieving spouse require a lot of grace from the Lord. This process is really, really, really very, very tough. By the way, it is not you who are able to convert him or her. It is really up to God's choice. If you think that, yes, I'm very confident I can convert him or her, but just in case God do not show favoritism to this person, very likely, you know, you will struggle a lot. And you influence not only your religions, you influence your children's religion. So you really have to think it carefully, think about it carefully in your prayer, just in case your concept is influenced after you go to college. Because you are influenced by many of your peers, your thinking starts to modify. Maybe, just maybe, that could be also a good choice. Now, this is a great thing according to Nehemiah, but this is a mortal sin. In certain circumstances, this kind of choice becomes a mortal sin. Why do I say that? Let's turn to Matthew 19, verse 9. It's a risk to commit mortal sin by married Gentiles. Why do I say that? Why do we say that? Bible says so, not me. Matthew 19, verse 9. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marry another commits adultery. And whoever marry her who is divorced commit adultery. Now, let's say you have sexual intercourse with an opposite sex, right? In the eyes of God, you are considered spouse, right? Now, many Gentile boys, especially, I mean, maybe girls, maybe many young men in this society, you know that virginity is something people laugh at in this generation, right? So people fool around since maybe 13 years old, right? Now, until the age of, like, 25, like, especially for sister, right? If you marry a person who is older than 30 years of age, 28 years of age, older than that, sometimes I really doubt, the people without God, do not have concept of God, can truly keep their body until like 30. Really. Now, you choose to marry or marry any Gentiles, and just let's say he really have a very bad experience, past. He's a playboy or playgirl. You don't call it playgirl, what do you call it? Whatever it is, right? And then the Bible says, you marry a divorced woman that you commit adultery. This is called mortal sin. Just in case you know it, you know already that he is bad, and you insist because you love him. And this is really, really very, very, very serious, very bad in the eyes of God. So, brethren, do you want to take this risk? This has to do with eternity. You got to think about it and pray about it in your prayer. Now, why you should marry the Lord? To me, one of the greatest things is that because you truly want to get the blessing from the Lord. You know what? Blessing is one of the major themes in the book of Revelation. God talked to Abraham, whoever bless you, I will bless him. Whoever curse you, I will curse him. Guess in book of Genesis, who blessed Abraham? Do you know? Melchizedek, right? Melchizedek, who is Melchizedek? According to book, I don't know really. He's a king from Salem, right? The Bible said he did not have what? Did not have genealogy, just like Jesus, right? So if Melchizedek represents the Lord, it seems like the Lord says that nobody bless Abraham to receive blessing. Let me go and bless Abraham to receive blessing, you know? So blessing is indeed a major theme. Jacob's story really talk about the importance of blessing. So when Jacob was young, he already learned how to receive the firstborn right because he wants blessing. So let's read Genesis. Genesis chapter 34. Now, when his brother knew that Jacob get the blessing, right? What is his reaction? 27, verse 34. 27:34. Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, 34, sorry. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me also, O my father. 38. And Esau said to his father, "Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. 41. So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning of my father was at hand. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." If you try to read Esau's heart, indeed, he was yearning for blessing. "Father, bless me. Oh, just one. I will be satisfied with one blessing," right? So, brethren, if you, in case in your marriage, right, your marriage is against your parents' wishes, and you do not receive the blessing of your parents, it's going to be very sad in your life. If you do not receive the blessing of God, it is even sad. It is more sad, right? So, blessing. You shall try to grab the blessing from the Heavenly Father. From the book of Genesis, teach us, the blessing from the parents, from God. If you truly honor his commandments, it will come to you. That's why when Jacob blessed King Pharaoh, at that time, all the nation become to him. All the property come to him. Of course, earthly blessings are important. And when Jacob blessing his children, 12 of them, 13 of them, that all the blessing become true in history. So one of the most important things in your marriage is not how beautiful the flower is, how beautiful your dressing is that you can kneel in front of God and receive that God bless your marriage. This will be a good starting point of your marriage. Of course, last one, you shall serve the Lord, right? Turn to Acts chapter 18, verse 2. Acts chapter 18, verse 2. If you marry Gentile, how can you serve the Lord? It will become very challenging for you to serve the Lord, right? Chapter 18, verse 2, "And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontius, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius has commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them." Here the Bible talk about Aquila and Priscilla, and later in verse 19, verse 24 and on, you can see that they even preached to a very important worker. His name is Apollos. Please read Romans chapter 16, verse 3. Romans chapter 16, verse 3 to 5. "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, for risk their own nets for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles." 5. "Likewise, greet the church that is in their home. Greet my beloved Ephatus, who is the first fruits of Achaia to Christ." So you can see, this couple really opened their home for the church, become a church for the children of God. People can have service in their house. So brethren, NYT stands for need you to serve. You come here, you learn to serve. But if you marry a Gentile person who did not support you, now all the purpose are ruined. If you can marry a person who can support you, you're like a leprous. You're like a tiger with wings in servitude. Truly, you can serve greatly for the Lord. I think next week there's a brother who is going to get married. Before he married, he gave me a call and asked me, "Preacher, did you mention that what kind of qualification we should look for a sister?" I say, "I forgot. What did I say?" And he says that, "Didn't you say that number one condition is what? Church sister, right? Number two condition is what? Praying sister, right? Number three condition is what? Sisters, right?" And after the conversation, right, He just engaged. several days later, I heard that he engaged with a sister from Canada. I noticed that some members now are more aware of the importance of church sisters and praying sisters and, of course, sisters. This is the beginning of your good marriage, for your good servitude, to show your honor to God, to avoid great transgress, even risk of of your moral life. Huh? So brother, you should think about it. If you are influenced by your peers, your friends, after you go to college, think about this. Make the right decision, because this is so critical. If you go to the wrong direction from that moment on, forget about need you to serve. It is going to be very hard. So please pray about it and think about it in your prayer. Let's all come to the front and pray together.